This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to this week's live weekly Authentic Persuasion training session. It's a little bit different today. Today is Thursday. Normally it's on Friday. It is still noon Eastern. Today is June 23rd. I will be traveling tomorrow, but I didn't want to miss a chance to do this session during the week, which I just enjoy so much. Just a note, I will not be doing a session next Friday. Friday is July 1st, so it's kind of like the end of the quarter, day after Friday before a major holiday weekend, that intersection. For me, I will be working and I don't necessarily play in those quarters, but I know for a lot of people, especially the Friday going into a holiday weekend mid-year, especially after the year that many people have had and what's going on with everything, I'm not doing that session next week. So for now, welcome to session 37. My goal on this is to help you in some way leverage authentic persuasion and the lessons I've learned as a guy with a marine biology degree and a guy that chose to tag sharks instead of dealing with people early on in life. And then the lessons I've learned, what I've come to understand, what I've seen work at companies, ones that I've been at, what I've seen not work at companies that I've been at, and the challenges we've had to overcome. And then now as a consultant, what I see across a whole wide range of industries, the industries that I deal with every day and where I switch my mind from moment to moment is a pretty wide spectrum. The nice thing is it lets me see a lot of different industries, a lot of different companies, different sizes. People ask me all the time and they say, hey, well, what do you know about this? What do you know about my industry? What do you know about X, Y, and Z? And I'm always just like, it's always the same. It's always the same fundamentals, the same foundation. Those same principles are there, whether it's the salesperson, the person who should be persuading and enrolling somebody, and what they should be doing as a foundational, fundamental thing. And then also the sales operation side, there's always the same fundamental foundational items that should be in place. And that's why I do these sessions, to help you, both the leaders that are listening and watching, maybe industry experts where your clients are the people who need to be hearing this kind of thing. And maybe you can bring some nuggets of insight to them. Or if you're in sales and you're watching this, either it's on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on YouTube, or you're listening to this on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast as a replay, and you're in sales, and hopefully there's some things, because today is about helping you, which again, everything is, life is sales, and everybody is in some kind of sales role and capacity where there's some kind of selling, some kind of activity needs to be done. Again, if you're in B2B sales and you think, oh, this is just for this group over here, it's the same thing. And today's topic is about controlling your sales day. And a lot of that is going to apply no matter what you're selling and doing. Now, obviously, you've got to extract what it is for you that's specific, what would help you, and how do you tailor this to what you do every day. Part of me and what I focus on, again, is the fundamentals. It's the foundational items and the principles that are just true no matter what. And then obviously when I work with my clients, then we get into specifics, like you need to make this many calls or do this with your list or prepare in this way. And that's specific. For now, take this. Take some notes. Hopefully this will ring true. If you're watching this, I learned this as a guest on a podcast. I think it was with Jason Mefford recently that just came out, I think yesterday or the day before. Him as a host, one of the things he says in his show is, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, there's a reason, there's some nugget, there's some value, there's some reason that the universe brought you to this message, this show, this conversation, whatever it is, and there's something in it for you. So hopefully you'll find that, even if it's just one thing that helps you out in some way. So let's talk about controlling your sales day. And what does that mean? Well, it means many things. Now, here's what normally happens for people in general. Right? I'm not even going to say salespeople. Let's start with people in general first, and then we'll move to the sales side. People in general, if they're not careful, they will default to reactive instead of proactive. A lot of times I'll say for myself and what I see for lots of other people, get up in the morning and then kind of roll through the day, show up at work and then kind of like show up and be like, all right, what do I need to do? Let me check my email. Oh, let me spend some time reacting to that. I got a phone call. Let me react to that. I got some texts. I'm on Slack. I'm on this. I'm on that. And I'm over here. And then just reacting, right? It's about, okay, I'm feeling busy. I'm feeling productive. I'm feeling like I'm getting things done because I'm reacting to things. And of course, the question is, are you really getting things done? Are you really productive? Are you really doing the valuable task that somebody is paying you for? Or if you're self-employed like myself, that I'm paying myself for, are you really doing that? Are you really doing that level of activity that's actually productive, right? The important and the urgent, not just the urgent, not just the important, but the urgent and important. And that's the question that you've got to ask yourself and understand. Most people default to reactive mode. Get up, check, you know, at home, check your phone, check this, check social media, check email, kind of reacting, kind of floating through. Then you look at the time, you're like, oh, where did the time go? I got to get some other stuff done. And then switch into proactive mode. So that's in general. In sales, I see that a lot as well. And usually it's in one of two buckets where people default into that mode. One is where they're coming in and they just feel like their job is to be reactive and they want to react and they're hoping, right, for that dopamine hit, which is the underlying basis of the reactionary mode for a lot of people, hoping for that dopamine hit of that email that they've been looking for, or that client that's ready to go, or checking their voicemail, or checking this, or going on here, and they're just in that mode, go, go, go. The other side, and this is what I see as well, is the person who knows what they should be doing some sales level activities, should be making phone calls, should be sending emails, should be reaching out to people, and they're procrastinating and holding off on that by being reactive, by dealing with what they've got, triaging, spending time here in their CRM, in their emails, in their voicemails, in social media, in text, in meetings, in different things like that, because that's just safer and easier. It's easier to react than it is to be proactive. When you're proactive, you're putting yourself out there. And in sales, like we talk about all the time, the thing is that is obviously dangerous, right? The primal part of our brain doesn't like danger and doesn't want to do anything that might upset the balance with the tribe, right? When you make those outbound phone calls and somebody says no, rejects you, gets angry, hangs up on you, swears at you, anything like it, says they're going to complain about you online, all of a sudden your place in the tribe is threatened, at least as far as the primal part of our brain thinks. And so the proactive sales activities that you know that you should be doing, and I don't like using the word should much because fundamentally you shouldn't should on yourself, but in sales, you should be doing those things. That is what you're paid for, is to go out there and generate new business, new revenue. And if you're not doing that, why not? And a lot of people default to reactive mode instead of proactive mode. Instead of coming in, it's like, all right, I'm going to tackle this. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to make these calls. I'm going to reach out to these people. It's safer. It's easier. It's less risk, less danger in the reactive mode instead of putting yourself out there, right? It's much easier to sit there and wait for things to come to you than to go out there and chase things down and face rejection, face danger, face all the things that could happen to you if it doesn't go the way that it should go. So that's the first part, is this reactive versus proactive and where that fits in. Now, the challenge is that, again, like I said, a lot of people in sales think that their job is to be reactive, right? Or they just get in that mode and they default to it and then they justify it and they think to their manager or to me as an outside consultant and trainer, they think, okay, well, no, this is what my job, I show up and then I have to deal with this order and I have to deal with this client, I have to deal with this client, I have to deal with this client. And that might be true to a certain extent. And there's some validity in that. But the question is that what about your highest value activities? What about the things that your company is paying for foremost, right? And wants you to be doing foremost, and your manager wants you to be doing, and you said to your manager that you would be doing, when are you going to do those things? A lot of times I see people get in reactive mode. Next thing you know, it's lunch. They go to lunch, come back. Now they're tired. Now they're full. Oh, new emails came in. Now they're reacting. End of the day. Still no proactive activities have been done. And then that sales pipeline isn't growing. And at some point, here's the problem, that pipeline will dwindle and become nothing because you're not doing proactive things. You're not planting seeds in the spring so that you can get some produce, some fruits and vegetables by the fall. And winter is going to be really tough. It's going to be painful. You are going to starve in that mode. And so you have to be reactive, of course, with clients, with things that you get, with your manager, with meeting requests, with all those things. But you have to be proactive and you have to balance it. And you have to play both the long game and the short game. The short game is the reactionary. The proactive is the long game, right? You have to think like a farmer. Act like a hunter. So you're acting like a hunter in the moment. You're thinking like a farmer. You're planting seeds. You're moving those forward. You've got to do both all the time and you've got to balance it. Now, here's the thing, right? When it comes to planning your day, one of the best things you can do is allot some time for the different activities and control those buckets. I will not stand here at my standing desk while I'm doing this. If you're watching this on video, you can see that. I will not stand here and tell you that when you get into the office, don't check your email, don't check your voicemail, don't do any of that. Just go right into some sales calls. I'm not going to say that because I don't think that's responsible advice to give to everybody, right? And some productivity people will say that's what you should do and avoid those other things and work. But if you're in sales, some of that is you want to check those things. Now, obviously there's a caveat, which I'll get to in a minute, but the biggest thing is there's things in there that you might want to deal with that might help your day start off in a great way, which is that email back from that potential client who's ready to go and wants more information, wants to contract, wants a phone call, you know, and there's things in there that you want to respond to. There might be somebody who's already a client and they have questions, right? There might be that voicemail or that message or something on social media that's there and ready for you in your sales process, in your proactive side, in the planting the seeds to help you with closing more deals. So I firmly believe, and I think the best way to go that I've found for myself and others is allot some time for reactive. It's okay to be reactive. I'm not saying don't ever be reactive. I'm just saying be mindful of it and be strategic and then be in control of your focus, your intention, and your time. I think that's the biggest lesson to take from this. So maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's an hour. Depends on the volume you have. I deal with some companies and some salespeople where they have a volume of inbound stuff that they have to deal with. Let's say they're doing fulfillment, they're doing process, like they sell and then they have some account management side to it, or there's a bit more involved in their process, then maybe it's an hour, right? Handle those things, triage. It's partly sales, partly customer service. That's okay. Just set that up and go, okay, from 8 to 9 or from 9 to 10, I'm going to do this and I'm going to handle these things. That'll help me mentally. I'll know that everything's processed and moving on its way. And now I can point myself this direction, right? Might be 30 minutes. Might be a half hour, whatever that looks like, narrow it down, set that up, have it be less than an hour is really the biggest thing, right? From a productivity standpoint. And if you can, what I would suggest is set it for like 45 or 50 minutes so you can sprint through all that stuff. Timer goes off, you stop, you take a 5-10 minute break, right? I know you just got started, but take a short break, refocus, reset, and then set your directions on the proactive outreach, outbound sales activities. And so that's the biggest thing that I recommend for starting is don't try to avoid that reactive, right? Like the people who say, don't check your phone in the morning and don't look at your phone and start your day. Like, yes, that's great advice. Most people don't have superhuman willpower. So instead of saying that, it's like, put a timer on it, put a limit on it, do that, and then move on with your day. So you don't get sucked into social media, for example, right? Same thing with this. Don't get sucked into reactionary. Other things can wait. Deal with the biggest fires, the biggest triage, the biggest things you got to deal with. Otherwise, move on. One of the biggest things is a lot of people in sales feel like they've got to respond instantly. And a lot of people I see in sales, like they're actually proud of this. Like I answer my phone all the time, 24/7, doesn't matter, even if I'm on vacation. And I heard that from somebody last year. And I was like, that sucks. That's terrible. And if that's not even necessarily something that clients want or need, they expect a professional, right? Like if you have, you know, if you need a doctor, you have to set an appointment. Obviously there's the ER for something important, something bad that's happened. Otherwise, you don't expect your doctor to be 24/7. If you do, you go to the emergency room. And so it's fighting that impulse to feel like you need to be on call all the time. When an email comes in, if that ding goes off, you feel like you've got to shift your attention, react to it, because time is of the essence. And now, with that being said, I do know there's some industries, some sales, some things that happen where that is true, right? Like you do have to respond. And if you respond quickly, then that's going to be in your favor. And that's kind of the expectation within your industry. But you also want to be careful, because if you enroll someone in that mode where you're reactionary and they basically feel like they own you 24/7, when they become a client, they will still feel like they own you. And now you have this thing where you have to be reactionary all the time, and you feel like you're always on guard for a message or an email or a phone call, and you always have to respond to it instantly. And then it's going to be tough for you to do the proactive activities when you're always in that mode, even if your brain is just always on high alert for that, right? Now you're always on alert for danger, and you can't settle down enough to plant seeds and grow a garden, if you will, if you're always on alert, right? If you're always looking for danger, if you're always waiting to react to some inbound threat or message or anything. Like if you think about it from a human behavior psychology standpoint, it's so many parallels, and you've got to separate yourself from that reactionary mode all the time and be proactive so you can build what you want in your sales career or for your team or for your business or whatever that is. You've got to be proactive and focus on that. So set some time aside, and then obviously, and I struggle with this, I'll say I'm the first one to admit, setting a schedule, putting it on the calendar, time blocking things and not letting anything get in the way. I struggle with that constantly and I have to reset myself, but allow yourself sometimes when you do check and you are reactionary, and when you do return phone calls. One of the best things I heard from somebody I went through his courses, Brian Buffini, this was years and years ago, and he teaches mostly realtors how to generate more referrals, but also how to be professional, not just be 24/7 on call, like reactionary all the time, but be more proactive. And he, in his voicemail, would say, like, I am working with clients and I return calls from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. So when you leave me a message, let me know which is better for you, which one of those time blocks, and I'll call you back then, right? Now, when you do that, you're setting the expectation for the other person. They go, okay, cool. He's going to call me back at 3 o'clock. That's perfect. Needs to call me at 11. That's even better. Like, if you set that expectation, people will respect it and they will appreciate it. And then you're setting that framework. So take some of that and balance it in with the reactive versus the proactive, giving yourself time throughout the day. Now, one of the important things is, and this is what I teach people, coach people, and it works when you work with it, and I do it for myself on my side, is sprinting within a marathon. So when we're talking about reactive versus proactive, you want to be proactive, but you also have to understand you can't just be proactive all the time and grind lots of phone calls, lots of emails, lots of messages. Like you can't do that 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for the next X number of weeks, months, or years. Like you just can't, it's not sustainable. You can't operate at that level, just grinding it out over and over and over again. It just doesn't happen. So you have to understand that. A lot of people put pressure on themselves to say, I should be doing the sales activities like 8 hours a day. It's like, that's not sustainable. It's truly not sustainable in my experience and opinion, right? You have to balance it out. Sometimes you're going to be reactive. Sometimes you're going to have meetings. Sometimes you have to step back and do strategy and understand and assess. Like you can't just hustle 8 hours a day long-term, right? You can do it in bursts. You could do it for weeks. You could do it for months, might even for a year or two, but you can't sustain it, nor should you want to, because hopefully you're just getting better at it where you don't have to. The thing to understand though is to set up like power hours. Now, power hours is something, especially in a B2B framework, where it's like, all right, so these are the times today we're going to make these calls. We're going to focus on these outbound activities, prospecting, be proactive, and just go into it. And I think that's a great thing to take into most sales, especially B2B sales, is to see it as a sprint, right? So I'm going to do my reactive stuff from 8 to 9. From 9 to 10, I'm going to be proactive. Let me just set up 1 hour where I know I'm going to do everything I can for an hour. And then there's a timer at the end. And then when that's done, it's done. And I can move on to the next block of activity, whatever that looks like. But I know it's not endless, right? There's a different thing when you sit down at 9 a.m. and you're like, all right, I have to make these calls and I have to go through this long list. And then it seems daunting. Then your mind's going to want to procrastinate and you're going to get distracted over here. And then you're going to have to do this. And there's all these things you could do to try to limit the distractions and fight, you know, the willpower problem. But at the end of the day, you're not going to win because the willpower is a limited resource and you will not be able to pull that off at scale over and over again. Best thing I found is to just put in those blocks. From 9 to 10, I'm going to sprint. I'm going to sprint like crazy. I'm going to give this my best. I'm going to give it all. I'm going to leave it all in the field for this hour. And then I'm going to shift to something else. And then I'm going to do another block later. And then I'm going to go this. Then I'm going to do this. And then I'm going to do this. Part of the benefit from this is that when you do those modes and when you do that, you also feel good when it's done, like you accomplish something that you know you should be accomplishing. Depending on you're running a business, you have a business or you have a team or something like that, or you're an entrepreneur or solopreneur, there's a great book on this topic. It's called The One Thing by Gary Keller. And basically it talks about the one thing and doing that one thing every day. And it's really the principle of doing that one thing first before you do anything else in the day. Now, again, I think that's a great principle. If you're in sales, it's tough to just focus on that and be proactive and do all your outbound without reacting to anything, which is why I think for salespeople, they'll mentally do better if they balance like a little bit of reactive with a timer and then go into this proactive mode. And your one thing in sales is to make sales, start conversations, finish conversations, move people forward, move people up the mountain across the finish line and get them to enroll as a client, as a customer, whatever that looks like for you. And so that's your one thing every day. That's really it, right? Like everything else is secondary to that one thing. The earlier you can do that one thing, and when you focus on that one thing for an hour, 2 hours, or 3 hours, once you're done with that, once you've done the outreach, once you know you have done what you needed to do for the day, then there's a feeling that I noticed in myself and with others where now it's just like this relief. It's like this accomplishment. It's like, I did that thing. Great. Now, whatever else happens today, that's okay. Cause I did the one thing that was very important to me. It's kind of like if you want to work out, you want to get healthy, you want to go to the gym. If you go to the gym early in the day, like first thing, you get that done. And now you're like, great. I don't have to think about this for the rest of the day, right? There's no, it's 6 o'clock at night and I know I need to get to the gym. It's like, no, you're done. That box is checked. You've moved on. Whatever else happens in your day, that's okay because you don't have to worry about going to the gym. Same thing with proactive sales activities, which is when you do those and you give it all that you can, and you do everything that you can do, want to do, should do in that day, in those sessions for your outbound proactive sales activities. When that's done, it's like, great. Now I'm ready to receive whatever, like responses, reactions, handle client stuff, whatever that is. Then it's just so much easier. So make sure you're focused on the one thing and then you sprint within this marathon called sales, this marathon called life. It's sprints, sprint, and then it's a marathon. Sprint, marathon, power hour, do something different. Power hour, do something different. Don't try to muscle your way and push your way through your sales day because that will be a grind. And that's one easy way to burn yourself out. Now, the biggest caveat to that is when things are going well and everything you touch turns to gold, right? Like when you make calls and people sign up, you want to keep going. That's a different thing. Like when it's working and when your meetings are showing up or you're calling people and they want to move forward and they want to enroll, that's a different energy, right? Like they say, you don't walk away from a heater. And so when you got it, when the cards are coming to you and it's working well, just keep rolling in that energy. Right. In that case, you know that moment and you're just on fire and it doesn't matter. It doesn't feel like work because it's working the way it should. For the other times in sales, where it's just like you're planting seeds, right? Like a garden, you're planting seeds, literally nothing's coming out of the ground. Planting seeds, nothing's coming out of the ground. That you have to remember. Sprint, work, plant those seeds, do it. Right. When it comes to harvest, where it's like you go out to the garden, you're like, oh, let's just pick all these things. That's fun because now you're getting the fruits of your labor. Totally different mode, right? So just be mindful of that in your thing. Now, let's shift a little bit. When we're talking about reactive versus proactive, the best thing for controlling your sales day that you can do, and I promise this is true, I fought it for a long time, and then I've learned it for myself, and it's something I do daily now for my own business, and then I work with clients and teams on this as well, is setting your plan the day before. Before you finish your workday, whatever that looks like, is setting your plan for the next day before you finish. Because here's what we're fighting against. We're fighting, we want to overcome that reactionary thing. When you show up in the morning, and everybody knows this feeling, right? No matter how long you've been in your position, if you've ever worked at any company before where it's like a who knows what's going to happen today mode, you know what that's like when you show up and you're reactive and then you're going through it. And it's like, now you don't have a plan. Now you don't know who you're going to call. And when it comes to that list, you're like, I don't even know. It's just easier for me to be reacting and going through the motions on this other stuff because I don't really have a plan for the day. Right. And I think we've all had those days in our life too. Like let's say on a Saturday where you don't have any plans and you're just kind of reacting and floating with it. Next thing you know, the day is over and you're like, what did I even do today? Like, what, I feel like I wasted that day because I just kind of floated around and reacted to things versus that day when you wake up and you're like, I got this to do. I got this to do. We want to go do this. I want to do this. I got to get this taken care of. And then that is a totally different mode. Best thing you can do is the night before, the day before your next workday, set your plan. In sales, set your lists. Have your list. I don't care if it's physical, if it's in your CRM, if it's in a spreadsheet, if it's in your email, have your lists ready to go. Have your plan. I'm going to start with this group. I'm going to do this. This is the message I need to send to this. This is my strategy with these. Go. You want to remove the requirement of willpower and decision-making from those efforts that next day. So important, so critical to remove that from the decision-making process. Like, oh, maybe I should do this and which one's going to be the best? Don't remove that. It's like, if you want to be healthy, right? If you want to eat healthy, I'll speak for myself. I don't think buy things like ice cream or gummy bears or red vine licorice or anything like that. And I just don't have it. Because if I have it, I'm going to eat it. If I don't have it, I don't have to worry about my willpower because it's just not even an option. When you set yourself up for success, you're limiting those things. It's why, you know, you see, I'll just air quotes this, successful people who are operating at a totally different level than others. You see advice from time to time where that person just wears the same clothes every day. Right? The Steve Jobs, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, where they just wear the same things. They wake up, they put on the same clothes, the same type of jeans, the same black t-shirt or whatever that might be. And that is their mode because it's one less thing for them to think about. And they think that makes the difference in their overall life and productivity because they don't have to make that decision. So they don't have decision fatigue, willpower is limited, all of those things. What we're trying to do in sales here is also confront that. Because if you go into your day, you're going to react and it's going to be tough and you're going to lose some momentum. If you build that plan, now when you show up, you're like, all right, here's my plan. Here's my list. I'm going to go through this. And if you combine that with the time blocking of the reactive versus the proactive, like I talked about earlier, then it's a totally different mode. Friday, set yourself up for Monday. Monday, set yourself up for Tuesday and so on, where you have that plan. Now, obviously, you might have to call an audible. You might have to adjust different lists. You might have to do things, but you're giving yourself the best chance of success in that day by planning ahead when you're not in the moment, right? Don't try to win the game in the moment and come up with your strategy in the moment. Plan it in advance so that you have that strategy and you know what you want to do, or you have some options as you go into it. That part is so important. Plan your list, go through it, plan your strategies. And again, focusing on the one thing, which is your prospecting, which your outbound, which your conversations, who are you going to move forward? Which one's cold, warm, needs a contract, is talking to this decision maker, talking to their spouse, like whatever, just have them in their buckets and then move. You know, when you come in the next day, when you hit that proactive cycle, when you're sprinting in that power hour, the list is there, served up, it's ready to go. I'm old school. Like I like CRMs, I like spreadsheets, but I'm also old school with like printed lists. for me, at times I'll print a list out, maybe even a spreadsheet, and then it'll be on the computer, but that way I've got it right in front of me and I'm like checking it off as I'm going through it, and I feel productive and I feel like, all right, this is my focus. It's in front of me. Here's the sheet. This is it. Everything else is cleared off the desk. Let me go. And then when I'm done with that, I can move on. So try that. Make sure to plan the night before. All right. The last thing about controlling your sales day, and this is really a time and focus kind of message, is how much time should you be spending on admin tasks? I don't just mean like emails, because you have to be careful of that, because you can fall into that trap, especially depending on what kind of client engagement, what kind of prospect engagement you're doing. Obviously, if you're moving people forward, that's great. A lot of times people get stuck in this email trap with people they shouldn't be emailing or things that aren't in their one thing, right, of moving new clients forward. But where I see people get stuck and get trapped in both spectrums and both ends is things like the CRM. Is how much time should you be spending in your CRM? At one end of the spectrum, I see people spending way too much time in their CRM and not on the outreach activities they should be doing, the emails, the phone calls, the text, the messaging, whatever that looks like. And they're spending too much time researching, too much time thinking about it, too much time strategizing, too much time procrastinating in the CRM instead of doing those activities. And again, that kind of goes back to what I was talking about, proactive versus reactive, with the mindset and the fears that come with most people of doing the outreach and upsetting people, and then where that attacks us as our ego, our part of being a tribe, and so on, right? It's that part that I talked about in the beginning. So the key, though, is you want to find the right balance, right? I'm not saying don't do any research. I'm not saying don't spend any time in there, but what is appropriate for what you're doing and what's the cadence you should be doing? Is 10 minutes too much research, or is that a right amount of research? You know, and if you don't know, check with your boss, check with who on your team is doing really well and what are they doing? And then what can you model after them? Everybody is different. That's why obviously authentic persuasion isn't be like the top performer persuasion. It's authentic persuasion. So it's about you, but what can you learn? What are others doing? How long are they spending? How many calls are they making? How much talk time do they have? How many emails are they sending? Like how much effort are they putting in that you can apply to you? And so what is the right amount? Maybe it's 2 minutes in the CRM and then make a dial. Maybe it's 10. Maybe it's not. You just dial, right? Like you don't have to spend any time in there. So that's the part you have to understand. And then the other end of the spectrum, and this is the other extreme that I see, where people are not in the CRM at all. They're not using it at all. And they're just reacting or doing all of their sales activities, think that if they just talk to people, that's enough. They don't have to log anything. They don't have to research anything. They don't need to input anything. They don't want to deal with the CRM. They don't want to touch it. And they're not doing any of that. And that's equally dangerous, especially for the business, right? That salesperson might be okay. They might have their own system that works for them. But from a company standpoint, how are you monitoring? How are you measuring? How are you making sure that what is being done needs to be done? And then how is that information being relayed once the person becomes a client? Because unless you're selling something where someone walks out with it and you're never going to see them again, if there's any kind of fulfillment or long-term relationship, you need the CRM and the data in there and the information to facilitate the process. Otherwise, what happens is you have a salesperson promising some things, committing to some things, getting someone to sign up and buy something, and then a backend that's going to deal with an unknown box, right? Like a treasure chest or a ticking time bomb, who knows? But that's what ends up happening if the CRM isn't used the way that it needs to be used from a business, sales, operation, scalability standpoint. And so you got to watch those ends, but be careful, because more times than not, at least the people that I see that are struggling and not performing well enough that will default to being reactive every day are also over-indexing their time in the CRM, spending more time in there and feeling like that's a good use of their time. But again, it's not. And this is where those sprints really matter. Those power hours really matter. It's like, all right, you've done all your research. Everything is cleaned up. All your notes are there. Everything is ready. From 9 to 10, I'm just going to dial, right? I'm just going to email. I'm just going to message people on LinkedIn. I'm just going to fill in the blank here in this mode where I don't want to do anything but that activity. And then the other parts, like I said, because you can't sprint all the way, right? Like it's really hard to sprint 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for years.
So what you've got to do is you sprint in those activity and then do the other parts. Maybe that's when you're in the CRM. That's when you're building your list. That's when you're getting your strategy. That's when you're doing your research. And then there's go mode, right? So you've got to figure out what works best for you. The key is just remember your one job in sales is to sell people, the right people, move the right people forward, have those conversations. It's you as a human dealing with another human. It's not B2C, it's not B2B, it's H to H. It's you dealing with another messy, confused, scared human who's looking for a guide, who wants help. That's why they're talking to you. That's why they're risking it. Even if you cold call them, if they give you more than 0 seconds on the phone, they're open to the idea of help. And they also know they're risking everything by dealing with a salesperson. Because historically, sales is full of people who manipulate and only care about their own self-interest. And that's the unfortunate negative connotation that sales has with a lot of people in the world. And so they want help so bad that they're willing to risk the dangers by dealing with you because they want the help. And that's your one job. Your one job. Right now, and I've been saying this actually for years, but it's still true. We're halfway through 2022. In this day and age, we still need a human to help another confused, scared, worried human who has goals or is in pain make a good decision for them. It still takes one human helping another human. That's what it takes. The robots, AI, machine learning, all that stuff has not taken over those decisions that people need to make, and they're not sure what to do. They need a guide, and we still need humans to be that guide for them. And with that being the case, your job in sales is to be that guide and to have conversations. It's not to be stuck in your email. It's not to be in meetings. It's not to be looking through reports. If you're in sales, your job is to be selling. And how do you control that activity within your day? How do you give yourself empathy and grace and understand that you can't do that 8 hours a day, that that is a grind? You can try it and some people do it. And maybe if they're telemarketing or maybe if they're door knocking, but that's tough, right? It's very rare that someone can do that. And so you want to make sure you balance that. Control your day, understand humans, understand yourself that you're going to want to react. So build reactionary time into your schedule and then proactive time. Get your list ready the day before, the night before, so that you don't have that decision-making requirement in the moment, in the game, in the pit, right? Just know, all right, now I'm going to do this. Here's my list. And then focus on that and focus on sprinting and focus on your one thing being prospecting. So that's it for today. Make sure to control your sales day. It's so important because again, if you don't, and then you're reactionary, anything goes sideways, anything is difficult, you're going to be in trouble for your sales career. Same thing. If we're talking about food, we're talking about human past and us way back in the day. If you're always reactionary, which means you're always hunting and you're always scrounging and you're always foraging and you're not being proactive and you're not planting seeds and you're not growing your own produce and you're not, you know, making a farm, then what happens? And of course, we did that for a long time before farming became a thing, but you're at the whim and the will of nature and the roll of the dice. Is it a good day for a hunt? Or is everyone going to be hungry today? Is it a really bad winter and we can't find any food? Then we're no longer going to exist. Same thing for sales. You've got to do both. Reactive, proactive, control it, and then play the long game. So thanks everyone tuning in. Again, if you're tuning in on LinkedIn, please make sure to hit the thumbs up on this. Make sure to share this. We can get more of this kind of message out. Who knows who this would resonate with and help. And so make sure to share that. And always you can leave a comment. I forgot to mention it earlier because I was just excited getting into it, but always leave a comment because I see those comments as well. And then I can respond to them, which is great. Same thing with Facebook under the Cutter Consulting Group page. Make sure to like that if you're not following it. If you're on Facebook, go there as well because I put some content YouTube channel. I'm really having fun putting a lot of content out there, which also goes in line with the podcast. If you're checking this out on the Authentic Persuasion Show podcast on the replay, thank you for tuning into that. Make sure to hit the subscribe button. We are in season six. This is week two of season six. And I can't be more excited for the conversations, the guests. David Ruta from Lending USA was the guest on this week's episode a couple days ago. And part one, part two being the after show, which is more of a casual conversation. And I have Kelly Decker next week from Beyond Finance. I just recorded with her right before this. I'm super excited for that because she comes from debt collection and then debt relief. And it's a different aspect of sales and leadership. And so make sure to subscribe to the Authentic Persuasion Show. Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, because on the podcast, we're putting the episodes every day. And then on the YouTube channel, posting the videos of the conversation. So if you like that instead, make sure to go there, support the channel, and you know, share that with everyone you can. And for everyone tuning in, no matter where you are at, no matter what platform, I appreciate you being a part of my journey to and goal to shift sales from being a dirty word, being something the world distrusts and doesn't like, to making it something the world trusts, respects, and looks forward to dealing with, full of sales professionals. And that's really all on us to take that on. And I want to help you close more deals and make more money in a way that uses the things that we talk about on here. And until next time, thank you for being a part of this. Thank you for sharing in this. Hopefully you got some value from it, and go out there and help me fill the world with authentic persuaders.